we do is I look to pick a nice, they're all nice, a nice liquid tape Moran, something that's that I can deal with anyway. Some of them, most of them are way beyond me. So what I think we'll learn with your permission is Torah Tet Vav, Torah 15. Very nice Torah. Fairly understandable. I'm going to teach it from the Likutei, the Kitzur Likutei Moran. The Kitzur, just to refresh your memories when you know what the Kitzur is. The Kitzur is the Likutei Moran, short form, put together by Rav Natan. So it's not like someone came along 100 years later and looked at Likutei Moran and thought, this is a bit complicated, like they did with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? Where someone else came later on and said, let's just get out the main bits. This is Rav Natan taking the essence of each Torah and putting it down in short form. What does short form mean? It means basically taking out a lot of the nothing's extraneous, that's for sure. In the Torahs, but the explanations. So, for example, the sources, you learn it from over here, and this is an aspect of this, and this aspect of this. All that stuff that, when I'm learning, you kind of like glaze over and just get on to the next bit of interesting stuff. So, it's a lot easier, it flows a lot easier, it's a lot more understandable, and he made it for people to be able to understand the message that Rav Nappa wanted to get across without having to wade through all the Zohar says this, and you learn it from the twice the gematria of that. That bit's missing, but the rest is here. Yoshi. So let's start, see how we get on. Misha Watse, a person who wants Lit'om, to taste Vaflim. Not Vaflim. A person who wants to taste the Vaflim should see Michal. Right? Person who wants to
Hanan,
please.
Don't do it anymore. I'll get all back. Just get rid of them.
Yofi. So, person who wants to taste Or Haganuz. Person who wants to taste Or Haganuz. Rabbeinu doesn't stick with basic things. Rabbeinu says, I can make you like me, Mamash. He says to his students, I'm going to make you like me, Mamash. You're going to be like me. Right? It's not, Rabbeinu doesn't come along and say, you know what, if you want to be a better Jew, just be nicer to your wife, try and daven with a bit more concentration, and you know, your feet, learn a little bit of Torah every day. And no. Rabbeinu says, guys, don't hold back. Everyone has the ability to be a tzaddik, right? There's an expression that not everyone can be a Talmud Chacham, because you need grace for that, but everyone can be a tzaddik, right? You can know zero Torah, you can not speak like the story that Rabbi Avraham was giving us before about the very simple peasant who got to something near the level of the Baal Shem Tov by just being a simple Jew, right? Everyone can reach those levels. Rabbeinu says, should know that. And this is the instruction book of how to do it. If you want to taste the taste of Or HaGadol, it's just like this Torah and you're... I'm not joking with you. I'm not like, guys, this is real. Yofi. So anyone who wants to taste the Or HaGadol, carry on listening. Anyone who's not interested, there's a waffling. Yofi. Yofi. Everyone gets to choose which taste. I put before you the waffles and the organus. Choose the organus. Or both. Who says you can't have both? Who says you can't have both? Yofi. Sometimes you need to elevate to the. Anyway, Tom. Yofi. Let's see how you do that. Hainu, that means. What does he mean, organus? Right? If someone says, do you want to taste organus? Sure. Well, what's that? what exactly is that organus that you're talking about? So, first of all, he's going to explain what it is, which is good to know, because you've got to know what you're offering here. Hainu sodot ha-Torah. That means the secrets of the Torah. She yitzgalu la'atid. That are going to be revealed in the future. right? You're going to taste them now. They're actually going to come in the future, right? When Mashiach comes and Torah fills the world and we get to understand all those things in Likutei Moran that we really don't understand right now, and all those, the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar, all those amazing, wonderful books that just make no sense whatsoever to people like us. Right? In the future, all that's going to make sense. It's not like that they wrote the Zohar on the basis that, I know no one's ever going to understand this, but I'm going to write it anyway. And you're going to learn it, and you're going to learn it Lishma, and you're never going to understand, so don't worry about it, that's just it. No, we're actually going to understand. We're going to understand everything that, all these great lofty ideas. So, but if you want, you can taste that now, says Rav Nachman. Okay, how do you do that? Sarich lahalot midat hayirah lesharsha. In order to do that, to taste the Or HaGanuz, right, which is the secrets of the Torah, you need to raise up the midah of Yirah to its root. What does that mean? Let's take it step by step. There's a midah, a character of Yirah. What's Yirah?
Oh,
fear and awe of Hashem. Fear and awe of Hashem. Right, literally, right, the person should always remember Pshat. Yirat Shamayim just means to be able to see Hashem. It comes from the root of Lirat to see. Just to see Hashem. The basic Yirat Shamayim is to see Hashem. If you see Hashem everywhere,
what do you see?
You see that it's Hashem. You see Hashkacha Pratit. You don't see the policeman. You don't see the bank. You don't see your boss, you see Hashem. That's Yirat Shamayim. That's to see Hashem everywhere. To see Hashem. But it's from that root. The root of to see. Right? And the truth is, if I'm actually seeing Hashem, then I have Yirat. If I was mamash seeing Hashem, Hashem Kenedi Tamid, if he was really standing there in front of me, right? When we really saw Hashem, what happened? The last time we really saw Hashem, anyone remember? Mount Sinai. Right? Yeah. Oh, that's Hashem. Right? And we couldn't take it. Right? To really see Hashem. That was just his voice. It was a revelation of Hashem. But we saw the sounds. Right? So we saw the voice. Right? It was that sort of revelation. Right? It was Ri'yah. The word for proof in Hebrew is Ri'yah. Ra'yah, proof. Comes from Riyah, to see. When you see something, it's considered to be proof, which is why witnesses have to see it, right? Not just hear about it. Right? Proof is seeing. Seeing is believing. Same. Yofi. So we need to raise up this midah to its root.
Okay.
Right. Yofi. So that still doesn't really help us. Maybe you've got it now. I know how to raise it up to its root. I thought you're gonna. No. Okay, not yet. Okay. So that's top. Usually, like a good way of learning Rabbeinu. Well, not good. One way of learning Rabbeinu is that you get the essence of the Torah in the first sentence, and the rest of the Torah just explains. Right? If you want to know what I'm learning here, just read the first sentence, and then the rest, everything else, just comes to put the pieces together to the jigsaw puzzle to get back to. So that's effectively what we're going to do now. We're going to try and piece together what that means and how we do it. The Zezochim, this is, you achieve it, you merit it. Right? Most of the times when you're reading Lipotei Moran, you'll see that the Rabbeinu explains how to get from where you are now to where you need to be. And there's usually various steps. You need to do this, and yofi. But most of the stages come by the word zocheh, zochin. Right? You have to merit it. Nobody actually gets it. This is all a gift. It's all a gift. No one can achieve anything that's not zocheh, Hashem is not giving you. So you're zocheh by doing this, which has within it that kind of conundrum, that duality of, well, it's all a gift from Hashem. What am I doing anyway? But I still have to go through the process in order to be zocheh. So And this your zocher, you merit, al yedei, through mishpat, judgment. Stay with us, we're going to explain. Shehu bechinat, which is an aspect of hitbodedut. V'sicho beino levein kono. Hitbodedut, which is a conversation between a person and Hashem, his maker. Why is that mishpat? Shemafaresh libo lifnei Hashem. Because when a person speaks out his heart in front of Hashem, Yibarach. V'shofet v'danet atzmo. He judges and judges. Shofet v'dan. I don't know the word for judges. He judges and he judges. A different type of judging. Himself. I'll call Asakav on all his business. Ubazer, and through this, Yasim me'alav kol pachadim, he removes all of their fears. Umale hayira menefilata, and he raises up fear from where it fell to. We'll explain that in a minute, but let's just lat. What's he saying here? We achieve this great height of tasting all haganos through something called mishpat. Through carrying out mishpat. Mishpat is judgment. Judgment means judging ourselves. What does it mean to judge ourselves? So, on a very basic level, we need to do teshuva. Person does teshuva, he is doing this action that's necessary. But it's not simply stamped teshuva, it's specifically the level of mishpat of teshuva. What's the level of mishpat? Mishpat means judgment. To judge. To choose between two things and to decide. Right? We're learning Sanhedrin. Yofi, it fits nicely. Right? To actually judge our actions. Not simply to say, Hashem, I messed up, I'm sorry, bring me back. But actually to judge what we're doing. Is what I'm doing right or wrong? I have to be a judge on myself. To declare what that is wrong. And now I know it's wrong. I can do shuv on it. Say, Hashem, forgive me. I know what I did was wrong, and now please forgive me. Not skipping out that middle step and saying, Hashem, I please forgive me. It's hard, it's tough. It's really hard to be Shmirat Hanayim in these days. Hashem, please forgive me. I know it's really hard. No, first of all, I've got to judge myself. Say, what I did was wrong. According to Torah, I'm not allowed to get enjoyment from looking at a woman. That's the halachas. Shulchan Aruch says that. I have to judge myself according to the law and say, I transgressed. Admit the fact, and then I can ask for mercy. There's no court where you come in and you say, you know what? The judge says, I know you killed him, but you probably didn't mean it, I'm going to let you off. No, first they have to say, did you kill him? Yes, you did, it was wrong, you're guilty, you're liable to death. Now we'll look at leniencies. Oh, you didn't mean it, you were provoked, whatever. But first of all, you have to say it's wrong. Just to step slightly outside what we're talking about, this is also important for us in the wider context. For us in the context of judging the world, right, we have to make judgments every day about good and bad. And our job is to judge the world. Right? Dan et chaveiro lekaf zchut. Person should judge his person to the side of merit. He still has to judge him. Still has to say that what he did is wrong. It's not the correct procedure to say that people who break Shabbos, Tom, it's okay. It's okay, so, you know what? They'll get there, so don't. No, it's not okay. What they did is wrong. It's not what Hashem wants. It's asur midoraita. But you know what? I'm going to have mercy on them. I'm going to have mercy. The attribute of mercy only makes sense if there's something to have mercy on. He did wrong, and now I'm going to be merciful. I know you did wrong, and now I can give you mercy. Everything's okay. Because then we miss out mishpat completely. And the good and evil stays mixed up. He's a good person. He's a good person. Right? We fall into this a lot, particularly with our relatives. Parents, right? People who are Baal Shuvah, family members, friends from the old days. They're good people. They're good. They mean well. Yofi, there's no such thing in the Torah of a good person. The Torah does not have a good person. The Torah has good deeds and bad deeds. You did good, you didn't do good. We look at the actions. You know, there's no label that you can walk around with, I'm a good person. It depends on his actions. How did he get to be? He got to be because he did it, right? There's no such thing as labeling someone, he's a good person. And then looking at his actions, and all the actions are against Torah law. Doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't give tzedakah, doesn't right do any of the 613 he's meant to, but he's good. It's a sheker, right? We need to have a level of mishpat.
First, the Tina Kanishba, then the Torah judgment on him is that he's not chayav. So if you judge the person,
but what's he not chayav on? He's not chayav on the fact that he did Isserei Doraita. You first have to say he did Isserei Doraita, and then come to the fact he was a Tinok Benishba. But you can't miss that and say, Tom, he's a good guy. Why? Because our job is to separate good and evil. If we don't make a clear distinction in our own minds between what is acceptable and what's not acceptable, then we haven't cured, effectively on its bottom line, we haven't cured the sin of Adam Rishon. Right, when he ate from the tree of Etz Da'at Vavah, what did that do? It mixed it all together. Before he ate from the tree, there was evil. It was called the snake. It had its own body. It was external. You could see it. He walked up to you and said, "You want to eat? You want a cigarette?" Right? He said, "You want an apple?" Right? Yeah. He was external. But once we ate, it's all mixed up. And that's our job, Biror, is to separate, to say, this is not. We then know what now I have to do with it. Then I have to judge him fairly. I have to find his good points. I have to try and raise him up. How do I raise up a Rasha? I have to say he's a Rasha first. If I don't realize that Chas v'Shalom, such a thing could be that my parent is a Rasha, then how can I raise him up? Why is he a Rasha? He's a good, nice guy. He looked after me, fed me. He's a nice guy. But you know what? He's breaking every Issur in the book. Classically speaking, and he knows that there's a Torah. Classically speaking, that's a Rasha. Now I know he's a Rasha. What do I do? I know to not get led astray, to not get mixed up, to not put appropriate barriers, and to pray like hell for him. To pray that he can do teshuva. But if I think he's a good person, who's praying that he did teshuva? He's a good person. I don't need to pray for him. He's a good guy. I don't pray for someone who's a good guy. He's a good guy. Tom, everything's good. So I actually have to go down into the dirt in order to raise up. And to do the same with myself.
But certainly this has to be done in your mind. You can't...
I have to know consciously that this is true. According to Torah law, who am I going according to? Am I going according to the opinion of my mum, who says Auntie Susan's a really nice person? She's a good girl. She's good, right? Or am I going according to the Torah and my rabbonim would say, actually, he's a Rasha, right? He eats cheeseburgers on Yom Kippur and he knows he shouldn't be doing it. Even though he brings you a present on your birthday, right? Whose definition am I with? I'm mixed. I'm so mixed up in this world. And this is true. I have to realize that my compass is all off. Let me give you an example that to make it kind of, hopefully, right. Who is the greatest gadol that generally a person would cite in the law of not labeling somebody to be a Rasha? Chofetz Chaim, without doubt, Chofetz Chaim, right? If you want to label someone a Rasha, you've got to go through a lot of hoops. And even then, right, Tom? Let's see what the Chofetz Chaim says about this. Chofetz Chaim says, where's this brought in? I printed it off. I can bring it in. Anyone wants to see it? I can't remember the sefer it's from, but it's brought on the Chofetz Chaim from a chash of a sefer. It's not made up. Chofetz Chaim said, when he was 9 years old, he was already identified as a Gaon. It's not in the Sefer Bavli. He was already recognized to be a Gaon, right? He was going to be a future, this guy, this child, right? And he was living in the town of the Maskilim. And the Maskilim wanted to bring him onto their side. We get someone like this on our side, right? So they tried all sorts of ways to tempt him, to bring him over, to befriend him, to be nice to him. Yofi. He said specifically about the leader of the Maskilim at that time, a chap called, writes in the book, A.D.M. Hakohen. Well, that's what they wrote in the book as the name of the Maskilim. A.D.M. Hakohen. He's a Jew. Sure, he did lots of good things, right? He said, the Chofetz Chaim said he left the town as a result, because he knew that as a 9-year-old, he didn't want to try and fight. He didn't know what. He left and he went to Radin instead. Right? And he said, about this person, it is appropriate and fitting to say Yimach Shemo. About this Jew, it is appropriate and fitting to say Yimach Shemo. Right? Why? He gives a reason why there. He says, a Jew that that sins himself, he can have an excuse. His Yetzer Hara overcame him. Tom. But a Jew who tries to make another Jew sin, or to bring another Jew away from Torah, he has no benefit personally from that, and he is an evil of the level of Amalek. And it's appropriate to say Yimach Shemo. I'm not saying that people we know are definitely in the category of Maskilim. However, people we know are definitely in the category of, don't worry about that. Trust me, it's kosher. Right? Of wanting us to reduce our level of Torah observance. Of not to be so frum about the whole thing. Right? There are definitely people we know in our lives. There is no difference in etzem of a person trying to bring you away from Torah and trying to bring you away from Hashem, where they're doing it in a big revealed way, because they happen to be head maskil, or they're doing it in the way that they think they can get away with it because they happen to be a mum. Right? I'm just saying these things are possible, and we shouldn't be afraid. Rabbi Nachman said, I think it's brought in Shifteran or one of the conversation Rabbi Nachman, he said, if in order to get to where I need to get to, I will squeeze through the smallest gap. Right, Kilo, let's imagine a mashal of a group of people. Right? I will squeeze through the smallest gap. I'm not going to bother anyone. I'm just going to squeeze through the smallest gap I can to get to where I need. Not bother anyone. But, he says, if someone puts out their hand to stop me, I'm going to break off his hand. I'm going to break his hand. Right? Rabbeinu said that. We should also have that. We should not interfere, harm, label, say nothing to no one. We should squeeze through the smallest gap to get to do our Avodat Hashem. But if someone puts your hand out to stop you, break it off. What are you going to stop me from? Serving Hashem? There is no greater, according to the Chofetz Chaim, there is no greater class of evil than that. Someone who stops you from Avodat Hashem. We find that very hard. Right? That thing that we're coming to try and say that. I've printed it, I believe it out. I'll
think of it.
But how does that fit?
But there's a difference, Mahmouti, between a stump Yehudi who doesn't follow this, doesn't follow that. Maybe once in a while says, no, he's not. But yeah, he gives tzedaka, he's careful. He has three character traits.
Okay.
There's a difference between that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not good. Obviously, it's bad. But well, it's not like a maskil who's trying to pull people double on their way. This is a total rasha. This is a chotea.
So our job.
You can't call everybody who doesn't keep their own mitzvah a rasha.
I'm not sure. It depends what the definition of rasha is. But we need to have a definition. I assume a person who. I assume a person who doesn't keep the laws knowingly is a Rasha. I assume. I don't know anyone wants to suggest that that's not correct. I'm happy to hear it. I have a different opinion.
But the way you meant is a Rasha, a total Rasha.
There's Rasha. Look, Rabbeinu speaks about Rasha and Rasha Gamor. Yeah. But there is such a thing, but there's still a Rasha. Okay. Person who's avonot is more than his mitzvot. That applies to a fair number of people, I would say.
Yeah.
And even mitzvot, which are not done the Shem Shemayim, but not counted as mitzvot.
So says the person who does less than 3,000 avonot a day is a tzaddik in our generation. So most of the
who said that?
That was said in the shiur here. A person that does less than 3,000 avonot a day is a tzaddik. Big tzaddik.
It's a very the topic that I'm speaking about here is a very difficult topic and a very sensitive topic, and it needs to be approached properly. It's not so that chas v'shalom we can feel better. Look, I'm a person who does mitzvahs and you're a rasha. The purpose is that I need to see what level Am Yisrael are really on, and then I can really pray for them. I need to see how low we've got, how low I was, and how low I still am. If I let other people get away with, then I let myself on the same. I judge other people the same way I judge myself. I never talk. And it lets me off the hook. And I don't have the quality of mishpat. Quality of mishpat is to be able to say what is right and what is wrong, to be a judge, to be a Dayan. To be a Dayan, you have to say, this is correct, it's not correct. We all need to have that level.
This is a little bit of a side point, but since it was mentioned, it's always confused me. One in the Chafetz Chaim, but also, again, by the... Something else, two things, I guess, the Chafetz Chaim said. One is by the Maskil that he was talking about. He said he doesn't get any benefit. But I can see a clear benefit in that, and also the other statement of the Chafetz Chaim, where he talks about how you don't get benefit out of Russian hara. It's pretty well known to the benefit of Russian hara that if I knock other people down, so
I feel bigger. Right, but the truth is, I haven't moved. Truth right, is, I'm saying, right. So I don't. It's a demonic, but it's not a real benefit. It's an illusion of the benefit. I don't actually get any benefit. I'm still the same person. I'm still right.
It's
I heard from great Rav of Gateshead. The later one, the one recent. Escape me. He gave the mashal for Lashon Hara. Two boys standing on the sidewalk and trying to measure who's bigger. And one says to the other, here, you stand down there in the gutter. Right? Okay, that's Lashon Hara. By putting your friend down in the gutter, so you think you're bigger. You didn't move. You're still the same height. Is it right? But you made him feel, put him in the gutter. So the mascule doesn't gain anything.
Because I was thinking, the Muscle gains a lot. If right now, if he has people who are geniuses and very great Torah scholars, etc. around, then it brings him down and it bothers his conscience. But if he can bring everybody with him,
that makes him feel better. Okay.
He just wants to help the people to get out of their superstitious ways.
It's true. The Yetzer Hara always comes dressed as the Yetzer Tov. It always comes dressed in mitzvahs. He doesn't come dressed with a big sword let's go tell people how. Let's go get spread the truth. Right, all the Jews that ever went off the derech, they only went off the derech because they told themselves it was the right thing to do. Right? They picked communism because it was going to save the world. Right? And that's a really good thing to do. Right? But once you get into it, if you read the Chacham and the Tam, the Rav Shalom's book, The God of Wisdom, it explains it very well with the Chacham that goes around saying there's no such thing as a king. And it goes around trying to convince people that the king doesn't exist. Have you ever seen the king? There you go, obviously. Right? You know, what's he gain? he gets it that he was right. He wants to be right. He wants to be get respect. Kavod. Oh, you're right. The leader of people who know the truth. What? Shtuyot. So back to where we are. So why do we enter into this whole idea? So this whole idea is an idea of mishpat, telling good from bad, right from wrong. Right? That's in essence, on a very fundamental level, that's all our job is to do here. Our job is to I put before you the good and the bad, the right shoes, right? That's it. To undo the cheta of Adam Arishon, right? To undo that, to separate out good and bad. Then once we separate it all out, all the bad goes, and we're left with the good, and yofi, we have Moshiach. We have to separate out that bad first.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think this is a very dangerous thing.
It is.
I'm generalizing.
Yeah.
I get your point, but to go around judging people and saying, this one, Mahal Shabbos Bebarhas, this one is eating trade food. I think it's a very dangerous thing because we don't always have the time to process.
So what? Let me stop you because where you're going to go is a detour. But the crucial thing is what you said to start with. It's very dangerous to go around judging people. 100% correct. I'm not judging people. Not saying a word on judging people. Judging actions. If he drove on Shabbos, I need to know that action is correct. Him? I can't judge him. I have no idea where he came from. He could be a Tinoch Benishba. He could be a Maskil. I have no clue. I don't know anything about him. I don't know what the level, the root of his soul came through. And this is his Tikkun. I have no idea. Judging him? No chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who could judge him. That action is wrong. I need to know that action is wrong and to tell my kids that action is wrong. Him? Yofi? I know. He could be that this is his final Tikkun and he's a Gadol Ador and he's come back. I don't know. Him, not him. You're fair, correct, and it's good to correct me on that. You're right. You're right. On the level of Chofetz Chaim, when he said you could say about him Yemach Shema, you need to know there's a Rasha to say Yemach Shema about him. He said that about him. He didn't say it against the Maskil. You know what? Tavi had a tough childhood. His father forced him to go to shul. He didn't want him. He didn't say that. So there is a level that we're not on where you can say about the person maybe if you're Chofetz Chaim. But certainly what we can do and what we're meant to do is judge the actions. Because we need to know what is correct and what's not. What's Lefi Torah and what's not. What's acceptable and what's not. For ourselves, for our kids, for the world. That is what Hashem wants of us. I put before you good and the bad. You have to know what's good and bad. You can't fudge it and say, Tom, it's not what the Torah wants, but you're free. It's not what the Torah wants. It's not correct. If I do that, then I can judge myself properly. And I can say about myself, that action wasn't correct. When I'm judging myself, I'm also not judging myself. I'm a good person. I've got a holy Jewish neshama. Right? I'm good. What I did was wrong. Right? When I spoke to my wife in a way that made her feel bad, that was wrong. I'm a great husband. Generally speaking, I'm a good guy. And I messed up yesterday. I shouldn't have done that. It was wrong. I said onat devarim. I said words which caused hurt. I spoke Lashon Hara. I'm still a great guy. I teach Torah in Yeshiva Chutzal Hesed. I'm a great guy. But you know what? I spoke Lashon Hara yesterday. That was wrong. I can't skim over it by the fact that, well, I teach Torah there. I can't be all that bad. Right? So, Tom. Yeah, no.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, please.
You said, tell your children, let's say you live, you don't live here by the woods. You don't live in Meir Shalim.
Right.
You live somewhere there, who knows, maybe the Behemoth will live next door.
Right.
And they get in the car and they drive away in Shabbos. So you tell your four-year-old what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, it depends.
How is the four-year-old, a four-year-old is incapable of processing. Yeah. And even if you say to him,
so you're not. I'm talking about teaching your kids according to the level they need to know. I don't tell my kids about the fact a 4 year old that if you have 1/60th of milk in meat, you teach according to his way. So if a child needs to know on his level that we don't drive on Shabbos, I need to tell him that. For example, if my parents come to stay and they drove to my house on Shabbat to eat with us. I need to tell my children, they drove on Shabbat. It's not according to Torah law. That's not right what they did, but they're parents. I have to tell them that. I can't let them think that driving on Shabbos was okay. I need to tell them it's wrong. I can't give them the impression that these things are okay, because they're not. As a Sur Midraita, what they're doing. They're still my parents, and we still love them, and we still hope for them, we pray for them that they'll make teshuva. But you should know that what they're doing is wrong. I have to tell them, even though they're 4 years old. I have to tell them whatever's appropriate for them to learn on whatever level. If they're 2 or 3, I'm not even going to mention it, because it's way off their radar. They don't even realize that, right? But once they get to a level where they know what driving is, they know what Shabbos is, then I have to say that. I've got a duty. Chinuch Yiladim. I can't let them have an incorrect view of the world. No? Yes?
I mean, I just think I hear what you're saying, and you're saying it well, but I just think it's a very dangerous thing. Look at people who throw stones at cars on Shabbos.
Anyone,
of course, they set it up so it's not mukzah. So
anyone can use any excuse for bad, and this is a real big excuse to do whatever the hell you like, to go around being a first class idiot, right, or whatever, right? Fill in the blank. And you can right, which is what. However, we're talking in this class. I don't know who's listening to on then, but we're talking in this class to people who should be on the level of learning Rabbeinu, of learning to separate between good and bad, and to know at the level of telling their children that what their parents is doing is not correct. We should be on that level, I think. There are always people who are going to use Torah. Are going to use Torah as an excuse to do whatever they like.
There's people. There's people who don't make that distinction.
No,
they don't make the distinction between the person and the action.
And therefore, if you go to teach a class of Baal Teshuvah in age, you don't sit down and teach this class as the first class in, because they're going to get it all wrong, right? But people who are, I'm looking around the room, at a level that this is what, for a start, if we want to be able to judge ourselves, we need to be at a level of knowing what's right and what's wrong.
I assume Rabbeinu says this, but it's not in the text, and you're bringing this from somewhere else.
I've read 3 lines of Rabbeinu, the rest is me, so if you don't like anything, then
you're bringing that from somewhere else, put the Maharan, I'm asking that, I don't know.
I have not. No, I don't know. My brain is a mixture of many, many things. I trust that the words I'm speaking. Otherwise, I wouldn't speak. I couldn't speak if I didn't believe in what I'm saying. That what I'm saying is true. It's not harmful. It's correct. That no one should stumble in it. But I also have to say, what is truth? And there are things that people can stumble in. Anyone can give any Torah lecture and people can come away and stumble in it. And a person who's in a position of teaching cannot be afraid to stay away from sensitive topics on the grounds that somebody might get this wrong. If a person wants to listen, then they will listen. A person doesn't want to listen and says, no, this is too dangerous for me, I can't take it.
If you cover what you're saying with the Zama, then it makes sense.
No, to lift it up. And take that and then do something else. You're free. But the first part is still, even by itself, it's still correct to make that judgment and say this is not correct. In my view, right? You can take it as my view, and I my view is not your view, and my view is not to say that's wrong. I mean, what's the opposite of what I'm saying? I'm saying to take an action that is against Torah and to say it's wrong. That's the parameters of what I'm saying. What are you going to do with that? Right? To go against what I'm saying, to argue with me, you have to say that, take my words and just do the negative, that a person does an action that's against Torah, and you don't say it's wrong. I don't think there's any, word for word, there's no argument in what I'm saying. What people then go and do with it, you're free. But that's not to say that the essence is not correct. But it's still wrong, and I still need to know if I want to judge myself.
But you have to call the Yitzhara from
that
person.
But it doesn't really matter the cause. The cause is Hashem. At the end of the day, Hashem caused the person to drive on Shabbos, the same reason that he caused me to look at that woman that walked past on the street. Hashem did it. I could call it the Yitzhara, I could call it a bad upbringing, I could call it Tinoch Shadishba, whatever, it's Hashem. So calling the cause is irrelevant, and the who's to blame is irrelevant. Right? It happened, and it's wrong.
Still gonna
be judged. It happened, and it's wrong. It's not what Hashem wants. What is good? What is good? Definition of good. What Hashem wants. What is the definition of bad? What Hashem doesn't want. And that's it. The gamut.
You're going to get judged for it. Someone's
going to
get judged for it. And what
you're
saying
is... Whether or not it's what Hashem wants. Right. Does Hashem want that? Yes or no? No, he doesn't. He doesn't want that. He wrote in his Torah that he doesn't want that. I don't have to be. I know the mind of Hashem to know that. He doesn't want that. Therefore, it's not good. See, it's simple. Hashem didn't create the Torah that you have to be a gaon with a PhD and a Nobel Prize to understand what's going on here. You can be the Peshab Shita. If Hashem says it, it's good. If Hashem says it, doesn't want it, it's not good. Do what he wants, don't do what he doesn't want. It's all. So what are we saying? We're saying for us to judge ourselves on the level of Mishpat means we need to have that quality of being truthful and saying, this is according to halacha and this is not. Of course, according to for that definition, you have to know what the halacha is. You have to know what's right and what's wrong. Right? People who don't study think it's okay to look at women. Right? The Torah prohibition, you're not allowed to sleep with someone else's wife. Apart from that, everything else is fine. Actually, you have to know the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says, no, it's forbidden to take enjoyment from looking at a woman, even from her little finger. Right? That's a warning of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? And if you're not allowed to look at her finger and get enjoyment, certainly not allowed to look at her face or any other part of her body and get enjoyment. You're theoretically allowed to look and not get enjoyment, but if anyone can actually hold their hand up and say that they looked and they didn't enjoy it, then stop. They already skipped the whole of this and went straight to tzaddik level, and I'd like to know how you did it. Right? Right, apart from the Ukrainians that you can look at and they're so then you've got an excuse, you've got something to talk about. But generally speaking, right? You're not right. So we have to know that first of all, it's something that Hashem doesn't want. It's against the Shulchan Aruch, against Halakha. Therefore, I need to judge myself on that. That's not correct. I don't then beat myself up and say, I'm a bad guy, I'm a rash. No. But I need to say, this is wrong, and then I can do teshuva. I can't do teshuva if I don't admit it's wrong. The first level of Ram's teshuva is admitting you did something. If I never admitted it, I can never do teshuva on it.
We gotta admit that someone has the reasons what's wrong, and that's just wrong.
No, not the reason. No, no. The first level is simply to be truthful. To be truthful, to say, this is what I did and it was wrong. This is what I did and it was wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it's against your Torah. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do that, and that's what I did. Shulchan Aruch says you should do that, and that's not what I didn't do. That is the definition of good and bad. We don't have any other definition. Right? Any other definition that comes from modern day society about good and bad is just stupid. It's not true. So that's how we judge ourselves. The reason is irrelevant. Hashem did it, the Yetzer Hara did it. I have to say, I did it. I admit I did it, and it was wrong. Yofi, that's stage two is I can ask for forgiveness, I can ask for mercy from the court, and I can give lots of reasons why it happened. Yofi, this is the way you made me. Right? This is the Yetzer Hara you gave me. Yofi, it's all very good. And Hashem likes to hear your... We learned yesterday with Rabbi Tokaya, all the Ta'anot, all the Atmala'ot, all the ways of doing his Hitzvodadut, all the claims and reasons and explanations, and right? Yofi, that's all good. But the first bottom line is... Nachon, I'm saying it's good, but you can't skip to that, because if you miss the first bit, you're asking to be let off without admitting the crime. You have to admit before I admit, and then I have to be let off. Yeah. He said you have to look at the Nukudokotova in the Rasha. You quit the Rasha, right? Who's he talking about? He's not talking about going Rav Nachman. Who's Rav Nachman talking about? Nukudotto Marosh Pebet. He's not the Russia, and even Russia, okay, well, he's not saying go round to the local Ukrainians, they're really evil, start looking for their good points. He's not, he's talking about, and all the Jews in that time, pretty much apart from the Maskil, were, right? He's talking, it's an instruction book for life. It's not an instruction book for people who are living in. And he says, find the good points in people who are off the derech. And mamash, people around us are off the derech. He's talking about our situation. And he's calling them rashayim. I don't want to get stuck down in the point, because it's not really relevant. The relevant thing to what we know is just this idea of mishpat. The idea of mishpat is finding the truth and being truthful with ourselves. We can't grow unless we're truthful with ourselves. We're going to stay exactly where we are. Everyone we know, right? Why do we have to look at other people? Why do we have to look at other people and not just look at ourselves? Right? Someone can sit here and say, stop talking about other people. Just talk about us. We need to do it. We don't need to worry about it. Rav Nachman said in a beautiful story, why we do. My understanding of the story. What's the story? The story of one of the smaller stories, the tainted grain. It's in the 13th story, it's in my famous book, The Tainted Grain. What's the story of the tainted grain? It's a very short story. The officers, the ministers come to the king and they say, King, we see that the harvest is tainted and anyone who eats from this is going to go mad. King says, oh, interesting, what should we do? So they said, well, we thought about it, we had an idea. Let's make a mark on our skin and to remind us that we've gone mad. And either way, because we can't, there's not, no, sorry. You know, the first advice is, no, he says, there's not enough for just us. He says, there's enough for us to eat, but there's not enough for everyone else, and they'll have to eat the tainted grain. We can eat from last year's, the old stuff, which is good, but the new stuff is all tainted. But if we eat from the old stuff, we'll be sane, and everyone else will be crazy. And they'll think we're crazy, and they'll attack us. Right? So we'll have to eat the new, best thing is we have to eat the new stuff too. But at least we'll make a mark on ourselves that that we know we'll remember that we're crazy. So the king says, a good idea, I can't remember the exact, but we'll make the mark on everyone else's forehead. And when we'll see the mark on someone else's forehead, then we'll remember that we're crazy. Not the mark on the forehead, to feel it, whatever, you can make all other different illusions. But what's the Indian about making the mark on someone else? Why don't I make the mark on you? Put it on my hand, and now look at my hand, and I'll say, why do I need to make the mark on someone else? So one explanation on that one here is, a person can never see it in themselves. You look at someone else, you can see that they're crazy. For sure, he's Meshuggah. I can look at the mark, and I can see he's crazy. If I put the mark on myself, I'm not crazy. I'm a normal, sensible human, right? I'm the most sensible, right? I've been the most sensible person, even since I was completely off the derech and chiloni, and right, doing all shiyot. I thought I was most sensible then. Right? Everyone thinks that. Other people you can see. What Rav Nachman teaches in that story is, look at other people and realize that's you. You think he's crazy? You're looking at yourself. You're looking in the mirror. But we can see it in other people. We can identify it in other people. Right? That's our route into us. If I see that he's crazy, I should know that I am.
So when you see somebody break Shabbat, you see break Shabbat?
Yes. Ultimately, yes. Because why is Hashem showing me that? Because he's showing it in me. Right? So in other people, it's my starting point to get to. Right, if I can't judge other people, I'm not going to get to judge myself.
When you're judging, when you
judging the action. Sorry, the words are all very. Judging the action.
When you see somebody break Shabbat and you judge him, negative, that means you have break Shabbat. But when you see him and you pray for him, it's saying, Hashem, open the eyes for Shabbat to resolve the middle.
And why? So it's a good point. Why am I praying for him? I'm praying for him because I know it's wrong and I want him to do the right thing. That reveals in me an understanding of, I know it's wrong and I want to do the right thing. So it reveals it about myself. Otherwise it reveals, I don't care. He breaks Shabbat and it doesn't care. What's that reveal? And I don't care. What's that reveal about myself? It doesn't matter so much. Breaking Shabbat doesn't matter by me. It should matter, and I should care, and I should want to do better. I also break Shabbat. I'm seeing my reflection. I too break Shabbat. It's wrong, and Baruch Hashem, we should do better. You should do better, and you should make tshuva. Me too. But if I just have myself, and I look at myself, oh, everything's pretty good.
It's like when you're on Shabbat, you sing on, not on Shabbat. Let's say your mind is now in your business, so you need to play Shabbat. Of course. I have experience.
No, we shouldn't
think. I came from the mikveh, and my mind was so outside from Shabbat. And I wake up, you know, when I wake up in the elevator, on Shabbat.
In the elevator.
And then I realized that my mind was not in Shabbat. Hashem showed me this moment.
Same. Person that puts on a light switch on Shabbat by mistake, he wasn't thinking, oh, Shabbos. Right? It's also come to show that maybe I'm not really need to put some more cover down to this whole Shabbos thing. That it's all for.
It's a little by Shabbat.
Yeah.
And like people are not keep Shabbat. So we cannot judge all that. They not keep Shabbat because we were born in the same situation.
No, but I'm not sure the person, but the thing is wrong. I need to know to give myself chizuk. And then to look at myself. Right? Whatever Hashem is showing me is a reflection of myself. If Hashem is showing me this, then it's a reflection of myself. But if I'm not judging it there, I'm not judging it on me either.
No.
So, and this is what we need to get to in our Hizbodah Dut. Our Hizbodah Dut on Tshuva, right? And I myself personally find it very difficult to do Tshuva. Do Tshuva every day. You should do Tshuva every day on all your sins.
1 hour a day.
You might, and Rav Dvor was telling about one of the Avrechim here who does an hour of Tshuva and 5 minutes of thanking. How do we get to that stage? Part of that reason, maybe, and I'm speaking about myself, is that I don't really judge myself that closely. If I really judge myself according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to...
It's painful.
It's very painful, right? And there's lots of laws there that I'm breaking all the time. I need to be learning Shulchan Aruch to remind myself, right? It's forbidden to walk behind a woman in the street. It's forbidden to walk behind a woman in the street. How many times does a person do that? With it, and it's not even on my radar as an issue. Tom, yeah, do. Right? I can bring myself the excuse for what you're going to do. In our day and age, you've got no choice. But it's not the point if I've got no choice. I first have to judge it and say, this is not correct. You know what? And I've got no choice in this day and age. Hashem, please forgive me. That's the correct teshuva. Admit that it's wrong. It's not against Torah law. It's against, I broke a Torah law here. Even though it's a small Torah law, and it's not a biggie, and it's... And I had lots of reasons why, and I'm not going to be able to change the situation of the world. I have plenty of reasons. Hashem will forgive me. But Hashem doesn't forgive me unless I admit it and say it was wrong. I recognize your Torah is true. Moshe emet, the Torah emet. And I'd like you to forgive me because it's not something I can keep right now. That's our path to truth. To actually get to moving, to move from where we are now. Because if we don't acknowledge that where we are now is not where we should be, and we're not really acknowledging that unless we say that actually I'm admitting that I'm going against Torah law. If I say I'm going against Torah law, that gives me a big incentive, a big motivation to change. But if I don't admit that, then I'm letting myself off the hook. If I don't know that, then I need to start learning. I can't let myself off the hook with I didn't learn. I can learn get myself off the hook in Shemayim with I was learning. I never got to that, right? You know, there's six halakim of Shulchan Aruch. I'm still trying to work my way through the first. I got to these laws. I didn't get to the laws of this, and I never even knew it wasn't even on my radar. So fine, I'm a shogeg. I'm a Tinok B'Nishba in that area. It's not even right. But the stuff that I actually do know about, I did learn, or I should be. Each person has their own should be learning, should have known. But we all have our own. What that, you know, I can't. So those I've got more difficulty in arguing that let me off because I didn't know. So there is some leeway. And each at their own level, each person at their own level. I don't learn it. I'm telling you myself, guys, I don't learn enough halacha. Mamash, I don't learn enough halacha. I tried. It's not easy to learn halacha. I personally find it quite boring. It's very difficult. But the truth is, unless I'm learning halacha, I can't be judging. I can't be judging myself. I can't be judging others. I can't be judging nothing. My ability to judge is limited to, well, is to whatever we know.
It's not a Gemara.
No, how many halakha did I learn today in the Gemara that actually affect me? That affect me. Maybe I learned the halakha of convening a Beit Din of 71, but it's fairly irrelevant to my... Right? I need to do the teshuva and work on myself. I need to know... My basic is the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. If I've got Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah down, then Tom, everything else is going to be good. Yofi, but the laws of tefillah, the laws of kosher, Shabbos, keeping the festivals...
I understand. Let's say, in the beginning, when you perform Bashua, at the beginning, you try to keep Shabbat not to turn on light, yeah?
That's
when you come now in the earlier stage, when you wind, it's not in Shabbat, it's the same, it's like Shabbat.
And each time...
So when Hashem showed you in a situation, I was talking with a friend about the business trip.
But at each stage, we need to take upon ourselves to move to a next stage. Otherwise, I simply stay on the stage I am. We have many friends that keep Shabbat, but they keep it on that level.
Yeah.
And they haven't, why? Because they haven't learned anymore. They never opened Shemirat Shabbat Kehilchata and learned that actually, that you know, you shouldn't, I know, things that people stumble on the outside, might giving medicines and rubbing poisons and right, separating things and your feet, all those other things. So they're keeping Shabbat on that level. Why haven't they moved? Because they decided on what it consciously, subconsciously. This is right, and we need to right. So and I need to decide. You know what? I actually did Borei on Shabbos, or maybe I did Borei. Maybe I need to look. Maybe I need to double check the laws of Borei, because I probably did it. I probably fell. Right? And then we can move. Then we can move forward and move higher. Yofi, should we...
Yochanan, you're going to take everyone to Shematzadi? Yofi. Before
he was there... Shematzadi, why is he known as Shem and Hatzadi? He was a Kohen Gadol, yeah? And he was the longest reigning Kohen Gadol that didn't die in the Beit Mikdash. Like he was like much very special. So he's a Tana also. I think he's a Tana. He's the last of the men of the Great Assembly. He was none of the smallest of the men of the Great Assembly because he was the last that was able to give smicha. All the smichot came down, and he was like the last of the men of the Great Assembly, and no one after him was able to pass it on. Like I think Rabbi Eliezer wasn't able to pass it on. When he ascended to Shemayim, he went in a flame, and he said, "I can't give the Torah to anyone." And even Rabbi Akiva that was there couldn't handle it. He had to leave. So like that was the level that Rabbi Shimon Zadik was. He was a very high level, but he was that was like the last of the smichot that was passed on in that kind of a way. Because he was like and that's why he's called. He was the smallest one of the Sanhedrin because he was able to pass it on in a way. Cool. But what he's known for is he's in Pirkei Avot. He says something very amazing. And if anyone knows the quote. Exactly. It says the world stands on three things. Yeah? Does anyone remember what those three things are?
Torah, Avodah, and
so Torah,
Avodah, Acts of Kindness.
Acts of Kindness. So what happens is that's what he's known for. So if you do those three, one of those things, and you're connecting to those things, then when you're going there and you're there with him, it's like you're making a kesher with him. So if you're giving charity, if you're doing acts of kindness to your fellow Jew, if you're learning Torah, the Shem Shemayim, you're really learning those things, then you can go in there with confidence that you're connected to Zadi. So that's what I want to say. When you're going in there, it's very important to understand. That's one of the ways of connecting to Zadi, is doing what they're known for. So
I've never been.
Yeah, man. I've never been.